Now, delighted to welcome Guy Barker to the programme this morning, the well-known man of trumpet, and indeed composing and arranging and playing and all the other bits and bobs. Guy, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
And do we find you in London, Ham, or where are you at all?
Yes, yeah, I'm in West London, where I've been in solitary confinement for a year, but I've been busy writing and playing and doing stuff, you know, every day. When we come out of this thing, I'll have a whole pile of music.
I bet you will. Are you actually alone, or do you have family with you? I mean, I hope people are dropping off food and drink.
Oh yeah, no, I live alone actually. I've been married. A number of times.
Have you?
and as one of my wives said, referred to she referred to my trumpet as a harsh mistress. I'm living alone. I live in a flat in Chiswick in West London, and my landlord is a wonderful man by the name of Martin Shaw, who is an amazing trumpet player and piano player.
Handy.
You know, so it's very handy. So we both make lots of noise.
That's terrific. Well, he's not going to accept any complaints from anybody else about the noise there, obviously. So that's a great deal you have. Well, listen, as the fella said, there's no reason why another girl shouldn't come along in time.
So I'm here.
Good man.
Very available. We'll,
if we were on the telly, we could flash your address up at the bottom of the screen, which would be quite good.
Let's not do that just now.
Let's not go there. Look, now we have talked before. Obviously, we chatted around Kind of Blue when you were involved in that and the Miles Davis stuff and everything. But now you're because I know you're a great fan of the RTÉ Concert Orchestra, and you've been doing some work. I presume it's remote work, Guy, with the orchestra.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Kind of Blue, it was a wonderful, because, you know, we'd sold out two concerts last year, and both had to be cancelled. Basically what happened was one of the things we were planning to do was do something, I think, in last May, and that got cancelled as well, where we were going to do like a history of soul music. Mm-hmm. And I was going to bring over a wonderful singer called Vanessa Haynes, who's quite incredible and sings with the band Incognito, and also Tommy Blaze, who's an amazing singer, and he's the guy who does all the lead vocals on Strictly Come Dancing.
Okay.
Amazing voice. And I'd written lots of arrangements for a combination of the BBC Concert Orchestra and my big band, and we did a series of concerts at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. So basically what happened was I got a call from the orchestra saying, look, we can't do this concert, but we're going to record some arrangements of yours, you know, and what do you have that's connected with Aretha and you know, the things you're going to bring? And I said, well, I've done a lot of arrangements, but they're for a huge amount of musicians. And because of the COVID restriction, they said, we've got to cut down the size of the orchestra.
Right.
So then it was a matter of us deciding what tunes would work and me delving into my library and finding those arrangements and then redoing them, sort of completely revisiting them and changing the lineup to fit in with the COVID restrictions.
So it's not just the Aretha Franklin, but it's a lot of different soul tracks.
Well, there are a number of others that I did. I think I did a couple of Stevie Wonder songs as well. But they were taken from that. But mostly they were inspired by
Aretha.
The work of Aretha Franklin.
Baby, I got now what you need.
because I got to work for the orchestra again, even while I was stuck here in my flat in Chiswick.
You're very fond of that orchestra, aren't you? You're very fond of the RTE Concert Orchestra.
Oh, yes, very much, very much. I said to Joe the other day, I was threatening to come and move to Dublin.
Well, as long as you bring your trumpet, no one's going to complain.
Yes, exactly.
So you've recorded a number of these pieces now.
Yeah, well, the orchestra have. I mean, I haven't heard the final versions, but I did have a couple of conversations while they were doing it. And I remember, like, the first trumpet player was checking a couple of notes, and he was recording in his part in his house.
Yes.
And I think all the orchestra recorded their parts separately. So I think what had to happen was I sent the scores, and somebody would make a kind of mock-up sound, like a synth, that the guys could hear what the final version would sound like electronically, and they could play along with that, and then they join it together. I mean, it's an incredibly complicated process. I mean, thank God one day COVID will go.
Yes, it will, exactly. I mean, you'll all be able to do normal things again, I agree.
Because there's nothing good about it.
nothing.
I cheer and pay homage to all the people who found a way of carrying on somehow, whether it's on Zoom or streaming or all that. But at the end of it all, it's only a very shoddy compromise
of course.
And I can't wait for it all to go.
Absolutely.
But it's brilliant that these people are finding a way to try and still create stuff.
But it's so important to be able to do that, and to keep the music alive, and to give people a sense of purpose as well. And
exactly.
Clearly a few pounds in their pocket. Yeah. One of the ones you did, Natural Woman, Jess Calf, doing the vocal on that, and again, everything remotely. Natural Woman is so fantastic, the Carole King, Jerry Goffin song. And you've arranged that one. And we have it here.
Thank you.
when the orchestra, and I'm chatting about Guy Barker, friend of the programme, friend of the station, friend of the orchestra, when you were involved in the arranging, were you part of the recording? No, you weren't. You wouldn't have been, because it would have been a convoluted
No,
affair.
So in this situation, you know, any other situation, if I've written music, most of the time I will go there and rehearse and conduct the orchestra.
Of course.
But there have been times when, you know, like I've given music to an orchestra and they've had like some of the classical things I've written, and they have their own conductor. And I've gone and sat in the rehearsals and been the terrified composer in the corner. You know?
But, yeah, yeah. What are you going to do to my work?
But this one, I wrote, and then I would send the arrangements and we'd have a talk and just leave it into their hands. And I know that they will have done a fabulous job.
That's right.
And it will prove the fact that they were doing it remotely, yeah, which means you haven't got those, you can't feel the people next to you and get the idea of what they're doing. And yet they make it sound fantastic, which means they're, you know, such great musicians.
Well, they are, and they're very adaptable, as we well know, because it's classical today, and it could be John Barry tomorrow, and it could be the Beatles the following day. Like, you just, you know,
exactly.
or something. And listen, having the same situation happen in the UK with your musical colleagues, that remote recordings and stuff are being done. Have you been involved with stuff over there like that?
Well, I haven't, actually. The work that took my time last year, the one thing that really got me through was I had a commission from two people in Hong Kong, because there's an amazing jazz guitarist there who I've known for years and years and years, called Eugene Powell, who is very well known in Asia and has worked with many great musicians in New York, you know, people like Michael Brecker and Jack DeJohnette and great American jazz musicians.
Yeah.
But I've known him for years, and this friend of mine, a wonderful man called Peter Thompson, he's a retired lawyer, and he's had this thing in his head for years that he wanted me to write a concerto for him, for Eugene, the guitarist. Mm. And eventually last year it came to fruition, and just before we went into lockdown, like a few months before, I went and sat with Eugene in Hong Kong and took tunes of his, and we reimagined them, and then when I came back, I sat down and created a full 53-minute piece for Eugene and the orchestra, which we were going to perform, of course, and that got cancelled. And then I was left with nothing, and I looked, a very dear friend of mine passed away, and I wanted to do something dedicated to him, because he's somebody I've worked with since I was 19, you know,
right,
20.
Yes, yeah.
And there's an amazing clarinet player over here, an American guy called Giacomo Smith, who runs a band called the Kansas Smitties, and he just absolutely blows me away. He's one of the most incredible musicians I've ever heard, and so I just thought, I'll write him a concerto.
Wow.
So that's how I got through the summer. So I sat down and wrote this concerto for him, and that's all. I just thought to myself, all I have to do is just keep writing. Now, I did have a couple of recording sessions. I had to do an arrangement of a Christmas song for Paloma Faith and Gregory Porter, and also another Christmas song with big band for Paul Heaton, who used to be in that band, The House Martin.
Yes, I know.
And that, in both those situations, it was just at the point where we could go into a recording studio
and do something.
So I had, apart from writing the arrangements for the RTE, I also had, you know, two or three things that really took up my time and kept me sane.
That's right. Well, and again, it's about purpose, isn't it, Guy? It's about having a purpose and a goal to achieve. You have to have something there that keeps you going. And as I say, along with the money, there is the mind game that has to be played as well.
Well, I mean, right now, we're still in this situation. The date, the magic date that we've been given is June the 21st.
That's right, midsummer, yes.
Then things will be right. So when I first heard that, I wrote myself a little note, and it's by my computer and on my piano, and it just says, okay, you got 16 weeks to get all this stuff together. In other words, don't lose this time.
Yes, yeah, good idea.
So what I do is I've got myself the same schedule. It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
You know, I get up, I do a bit of keyboard harmony for about an hour and a half. I play my trumpet for an hour and a half. I write until lunchtime, and then I go for a walk, and then I write till, you know, and then play my trumpet a bit more. And then it's the end of the day. And then I watch a movie, have dinner, go to bed, and it all starts again. But all the time, I'm creating things in my head, including stuff that I know I have to do at the end of the year.
Yes, and you're dedicating yourself to it.
Yeah, so I start now, because otherwise it could really... You could just go mad.
That's right. You've no room for another wife the way things are going. You haven't got time.
Right.
No. Listen, there's another song that I see you've recorded, or you arranged rather, for the orchestra, Heaven Help Us All. That's one of my great favourites. Stevie Wonder song. And they got Dana Masters to sing it. Now Dana Masters, as you will know, is a singer with Van Morrison.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's fantastic. Right. Yeah. But Heaven Help Us All is a great song. And it's not played on the radio. I never hear it on the radio.
No, I love that song.
It's a gorgeous song. And particularly in the times of COVID, you'd think it'd be played off the air, but we don't hear it so much, which is a great pity. Anyway, Dana Masters, here it is. Possibility, Guy, of this being on stage in time with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra and you in attendance. Is that I take it that's a plan, is it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, try and keep me away.
Yeah,
I was even considering an illegal way of getting over, maybe hiding in the truck.
That's right. You'll have to don sunglasses now because you won't be used to daylight.
No, exactly. But no, I've been talking with the orchestra about doing other ideas as well as this Aretha and Soul idea performing that, and hopefully doing the kind of blue again to try and replace the concerts we lost. But also, there's something that's been going around my head for quite a while as a kind of another stage on, something inspired by the creation of the orchestral version of Kind of Blue, and that's the fact that another amazing jazz legend who was a phenomenal composer and one of my absolute heroes of the music is Charles Mingus.
All right.
And Charles Mingus, next April, it would have been his 100th birthday. So I've been talking with the orchestra about creating a new orchestral setting of his music to celebrate that. And hopefully we'll get to do that next year in April. And they're also hopefully talking about doing it in Cork and maybe Wexford as well as Dublin.
Oh, that's a very good idea. Well, I mean, I think of Mingus. I mean, Joni Mitchell did an album called Mingus.
Yes, that's right.
You know, you think back to that stuff. There was all sorts of amazing music on that, if you remember. So, like, he is accessible. He's not that.
Oh, exactly. You know? It's interesting. He's got a very, you know, interesting audience because, of course, he's also the guy that all the rock and rollers seem to love as well.
Yes.
You know, you talk to them, you know, you talk to the Stones and all those people and they go, oh, yeah, Mingus. They love Mingus.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's something really special about him. And what's also another interesting point is that the Kind of Blue became that amazing album, the biggest selling jazz album ever. And it was recorded in 1959. And then Mingus recorded a couple of albums in 1959 as well, Mingus at a Hum and Blues and Roots. And those albums kind of have all his hits on them, you know, those songs that we remember, you know. And then the other thing is 1959 was such an amazing thing going on. I don't know what caused it, but like John Coltrane's album Giant Steps, even though it was released in 1960, was recorded in 1959. And then Dave Brubeck, the album Time Out, where Take Five came from, that was recorded in 1959. Now, Ornette Coleman, Horace Silver, just really like sort of changing their course of music type albums.
That's right, hugely important. Yeah.
So there's another conversation I had with the orchestra. Said, you know, this is something that you could go on. You could have, you know, you could just take each one of these albums from 1959 and create them orchestral versions of them.
Oh, you're getting a positive response to that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. I mean, it's amazing when you think, I mean, you were two, for heaven's sake, when that stuff was came out.
I might have been one, actually, because my birthday's Boxing Day.
I see.
Right at the very end of 57. That's
I see what you're at. I see your trickery there. Trickery.
I'm trying to get younger.
You are, yeah. That's jiggery pokery. Yeah. Well, I was three, and I won't let you away with it. You were two, and I was three.
Okay, all right.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, not letting you away with that one. But that's a great album. I remember that album because I'm a great fan of Joni Mitchell's too, and I love herself and Charles Mingus. Goodbye, pork pat. Pork pie hat.
Goodbye, pork pie hat.
That's what it was. Yeah, it's great.
But he had that, and he had Boogie Stop Shuffle and Jelly Rolls and all those wonderful tunes. But and he also wrote poetry, and I have an idea about using some of his poetry and writing new orchestral settings for them.
Nice.
I mean, there's one of his pieces. I mean, he had such a great sense of humor. He wrote a piece of music that was called All the Things You Could Be Right Now If Sigmund Freud's Wife Was Your Mother.
That's wonderful.
We've just got to do that just to be able to announce it, haven't you?
That's right. I say, what the hell? What are these men on and women on? They're on something. I'm going to let you go. It's joyous to hear your voice again, and you're such a great conversationalist. And it's your enthusiasm. I love, because you're so passionate about it. And I love the fact that you have a plan, the 16-week plan. I think that's brilliant. When we can all kind of go out into the daylight again. You're going to hit me over the head to Vuofile Americano. I just love playing it on the radio. It always gives me great.
Well, that was one of the most joyous couple of days I can ever remember. We were stuck in, when we recorded it, obviously, but then when we were doing the filming and we were stuck in this place in the middle of Rome in August in a heat wave, and the room was so hot that they were even squirting artificial sweat on us to make us look like we were really going for it. And we spent 2 days just sort of miming to that, all that stuff, but creating and filming that whole jazz club scene. And it was just, I mean, I spoke to other people who worked on that set, and they just said it was such a joy, because, you know, in filming, it's just like hang around, bit
That's
of action,
right.
hang
okay.
around.
Okay.
This was just so much fun. 2 days of crazy stuff. It was
great. Love it, and people love it on the radio. It's the Guy Barker International Quintet from the talented Mr. Ripley. We love it. Guy, stay safe, and we'll see you eventually, please God. And
I do hope so.
We'll share a small libation or something.
There you go.
Keep the faith, Guy. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. My great pleasure, Guy. So here it is. To Vuofile Americano, it's Matt Damon and Guy Barker International Quintet.
Come on, vieni qua. sune gunu stemmarete. Na cupulella ca visiera isat.
You've been listening to Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.